Well, good evening. Happy Yom Kippur. Not a very traditional greeting, but appropriate nonetheless, you know, in the sense that as opposed to a day which can be dread or wondering, it's actually in remembrance of a tremendous thing. You know, through my faith in, faith in Yeshua, it's the idea that it's a day which helps me remember again not only the holiness of God and how much I fall short, which traditional Yom Kippur does, but also that there's a way in which you can be forgiven, in which the love of God has been poured out to us through Him. And we could sit there and come to this holiest of days and saying, and actually say, what a joyous, blessed, happy day this is. And to take hold of both those things tonight, both that holiness of God and how much we fall short of that, but not in a sense that leaves you condemned or afraid or, you know, or feeling ashamed, but in a way which makes you feel redeemed and forgiven and grateful in a way which transforms your life. Let's begin our time with our bulletin and the call to worship. I shall also begin in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather. And Lord, we ask for your presence tonight. We ask in a powerful way that you take these words that we speak and these even the traditional liturgies, but that they would not just be traditions, but they would be alive, that you'd speak to our hearts through it, that you'd move in a powerful way. We're so grateful for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Bless this time. We do it in your name. Amen. We are gathered together, the people of the living God, to observe the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, known in the scriptures as Yom Kippur. We are here to contemplate, rededicate our lives in view of the great atonement which God provided for us in our Messiah, Yeshua. Of him it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. It is true and certain that God reconciled the world to himself in Messiah, not counting our sins against us. We have gathered to recall the great mercies of God, to recognize and repent of our unresponsiveness to him, and to present ourselves anew as living sacrifices dedicated to serve him who loved us and sent the Messiah, Yeshua, to be the complete and final atonement for our sins.
Baruch et Adonai HaMevarach.
Baruch Adonai HaMevarach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai HaMevarach Le'olam Va'ed.
Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
For there is one God and one mediator also between God and people, the man, Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, the Messiah Yeshua, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Let us therefore confess in the words of the Shema.
Let us stand together.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem, Kibur Malchuto, Le'olam Va'ed.
Together, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever.
V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'odecha.
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength.
V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha.
And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
As we remain standing on pages 4 and 5, we have selections from the traditional Amida prayer. The Amida prayer dates back to the time when the temple was standing, and these were 18 prayers that captured God's nature and important aspects of our relationship with Him. So as we recite these words, may they not be simply words, but may they be expressions of our hearts. So use them to express yourself, not simply to utter them as liturgy, but to serve as an expression of your heart.
Open my mouth, O Lord, and my lips will proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, and God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, awesome, exalted God who bestows loving kindness, creator of all. You remembered your covenant love to our ancestors to bring a redeemer to their children's children for your name's sake.
You are the King who helps and saves and shields. Blessed are you, Lord, shield of Abraham. Your might, O Lord, is boundless. You give life to the dead. Great is your saving power.
You sustain the living with loving kindness. In your great mercy, you give life to the dead. You support the falling, heal the ailing, free the fettered. Whose power can compare with yours? You are the master of life and death, who brings forth salvation. Whose mercy is like yours? In your mercy, you remember your creatures to life.
Faithful are you in giving life to the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who gives life to the dead. You are holy, and your name is holy, and the holy ones daily give you praise.
Our God and God of our ancestors, pardon our sins on this Yom Kippur. Make our transgressions pass away before you, as it is written, I even am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Our God and God of our ancestors, satisfy us with goodness and let us rejoice in your salvation. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth.
For you are the one who forgives Israel and pardons all who truly seek you.
Accept, O Lord, the prayer of your people as it is offered. May the worship of those who call upon your name always be acceptable to you. May our eyes witness the return of our Messiah to Zion. Blessed are you, Lord, who restores his presence to Zion.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen. Please be seated. You know, when I first became a Messianic Jew, I thought I was the only Jewish person who knew Yeshua. In other words, I thought it was an entirely Gentile phenomenon and hadn't really met any other Jewish people who knew Yeshua. So then I went to a Messianic conference, a national conference in Pennsylvania. And there I saw hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people worshiping Yeshua, even whole families, and it really was quite an experience. And I remember especially one day when this singer, Joel Chernoff, sang this song that I'm going to sing to you tonight. It's called The Sacrifice Lamb, and it was very, very special to me, and I hope that the words will be meaningful to you. Have you ever heard Messiah has come? It says in his word to cleanse everyone. Atonement he made, iniquity bore, that we can find life in him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar, a stain to wipe away guilt. and pain to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son, to the world, Messiah the one, for the world, Yeshua is He. The prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold, the purpose is clear. Isaiah did say, 'twas for an atonement, to give us a way that leads not to death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar, a stain to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son, to the world, Messiah the one, for the world, Yeshua is He. So people of mine, look not to yourselves, we are but one, we all need His help. We've broken the law, but He paid the debt, that we can find life by Yeshua's death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, His blood on the altar, a stain to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. So final atonement has come and brought us new hope. By God's Son, if you will believe in your heart, Yeshua, you'll Let's stand together and continue to sing.
Shalom Rav recognizes that we need peace and that God alone can give us that peace. And so this is our prayer, that God would in fact give His peace to Israel, which doesn't depend on the circumstances, because He's beyond all of those things. No matter what's happening, our God is able to give us peace, and have peace for all of Israel. So let's make this our prayer tonight.
Please stay standing. Please continue to stand. On page 7 and 8, we have the traditional confessional Al Chet. It's composed in acrostic fashion. You'll notice that the italic words each begin with a letter of the alphabet starting with A. And it's a time of reflection and evaluation for us to consider our relationship with God and with our fellow people, and to assess where can we improve, where can we ask God's help in action and thought to be different than it has been for the coming year. So let's say together, Garrett, if you would start, we're the leader.
And after each section where it says congregation, we'll have a time of silence. And it's a time to reflect on what you just read and what you just confessed. And then Rob will close each one of those times with that leader portion in Hebrew. And then I'll say it in English, and we'll go on to the next section. May it be thy will, O Lord our God, and God of our fathers, to forgive all our sins, to pardon all our iniquities, and to grant us atonement for all our transgressions.
For the sin which we have committed in thy sight through arrogance, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by casting off responsibility, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by evil thoughts, and for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by hatred. Salach lanu michalanu kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being insincere in relationships, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through lack of justice, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight either knowingly or unknowingly, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through lustful behavior. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight through meditation of the heart that was sinful, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by not honoring thy name, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight openly or secretly, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by being presumptuous, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being quick to spread rumors, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by resisting parents or teachers.
V'al kulo Eloha selichot Selach lanu michalanu kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua.
For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by scoffing and ridiculing others, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through talking idly, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by unchastity, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through violence, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by wronging our neighbors, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through excess in eating and drinking, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by yet being proud, and for the sin which we have committed before thee through our lack of zeal.
Viaculo, hello, hello, hi, salichot, salach lanu, kipar lanu, kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and grant us atonement through Yeshua. Amen. You may be seated.
Often people think of Jewish life as one that is in response to law, and that the existence of Jewish life is largely that relationship. And yet, Avinu Malkeinu really is a challenge to our seeing that, because Avinu Malkeinu really states that there is nothing that we can do to merit God's favor. Avinu Malkeinu tells us that obeying God and doing His commands comes from the heart and is a response to our relationship to Him, not a way to get to Him. As I chant to you, Avinu Malkeinu, it might be a time for, personally, you're asking God to cleanse you and to forgive you through the Messiah. It might be a time for you to be thankful that the Messiah has granted you atonement, and in hearing these words, you can be grateful that there was a time that you uttered these words and that God revealed Himself to you and showed the Messiah to you. And also for all of us, this is a time that we unite with our people worldwide as we consider these words.
Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu va'anenu, ki ein banu masi, haseh imanu, tzedakah v'chesed. Haseh imanu tzedaka v'chesed v'hoshienu. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, chanenu va'anenu, ki ein banu ma.
Together, our Father, our King, be gracious to us and answer us, for we have no merits. Show us charity and loving kindness and save us.
Hashiveinu is a beautiful prayer. We see at the bottom of the page that it comes from the Book of Lamentations. So we're asking that God would restore us to a time when our people were in full fellowship with their God, and there was a wonderful existence of God and the nation Israel. We're asking that there would be a restoration of such a time. Let's sing together.
Hashiveinu, 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 Adonai Elecha.
ha ve la shuva ve la shuva chadesh chadesh yameinu
Say together in English, Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Please turn to page 10.
It's now time for the Kaddish. And for those who are mourning someone or someone you want to remember, it doesn't necessarily for us, I think, have to be in the last year. If there's someone you want to remember in this moment and you want to stand up and honor them during the Kaddish, you can. The Kaddish, as you'll see, is a traditional prayer for when people have passed, but it's hardly a prayer of mourning. As it says, magnified and sanctified be God's great name. It's a prayer of praise to God, acknowledging he is the master of creation. All things are his hand, and he does what is right.
Yitgadal v'yitkadash me'i rabah v'alma divarach hirutei V'yamlich malchutei v'chayechon u'biyomechon u'v'chayedecho beit Yisrael v'agala u'bizman kadri v'yimeru Amen Yeheshme rabba mevarach li'olam olal me'almaya Yitbarach yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitbar v'yitramam V'yitnase, v'yitadar, v'yitalev, v'yitalav, sh'meidi kudusha, v'richu. Le'ela min kol birchata, v'yishirata tush bechata, v'nechemata di'amiran v'yalma v'imru. Amen. Yehesh lama rabba min shamaya, v'chayim aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael v'yimru. Amen. Oseh shalom b'imramav, hu yaseh shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yemeru. Amen.
Together, magnified and sanctified be his great name in the world, which he hath created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days and during the life of all the house of Israel, even speedily and at a near time. And let us say, Amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity, blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted and extolled, honored and magnified, and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed be he. Though he be high above all the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world, and let us say, Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven and life for us and for all Israel, and let us say, Amen. He who makes peace in the high places, may he make peace for us and for all Israel, and let us say, Amen.
Please be seated. Let's join together and continue our worship.
Who is like him? The lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, and every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Who is like him?
Like him, the lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Praise
Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, O
seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. And praise Adonai from the rising of the sun till the end of every day.
Next song, we're going to sing it all in Hebrew, so I want to make sure we read the English. And it says, Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sin of the world, please have mercy on us, Lord and Redeemer, Son of God, our grace. Yeshua, Yeshua, we worship before you. God has provided the sacrifice for us, and it is a wonderful thing. Let's just draw near to him as we sing this song and reflect on his amazing gift of grace to us.
Continue at the bottom of page 12. Please rise for the blessing before the reading from the Torah. Baruch et Adonai Hamvorach.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Leolam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lano et torato, Baruch atah Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen.
Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Blessed be the Lord who is worthy to be praised forever and ever. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You chose us from all peoples, giving us your Torah. You are the Blessed One who gave us the Torah. Our reading is a selection from Leviticus chapter 16 to be the instructions for Yom Kippur. From the Israelite community, Aaron is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he's to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering, but the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Aaron shall slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall then send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. Then Aaron shall go into the tent of meeting, take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place. He is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in a holy place and put on his regular garments, then come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and do not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you, because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. And before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. This is the Torah. You may be seated.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar Benvim tovim Viratzah v'divrehem ha-nemarim b'emet Baruch atah Adonai HaBocher BaTorah UvMoshe Avdo UvYisrael Amo UvNeviei HaEmet VaTzedek.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chose the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Our text for our Haftarah is from Isaiah chapter 53. It's a remarkable text. I remember when I was living in Israel, just after I'd become a believer in Yeshua, Israel was obviously a Hebrew hymnal in the little fellowship we were at, and I saw the first words of a song we were singing, and I realized it was the words from my bar mitzvah, the Haftorah portion. And I was like, wow, I don't think I even remembered what I actually was reading. You know, you memorize all the Hebrew, and I realized it, and I read it, it was Isaiah 54:1. I still remember, Ronia Kara Yolayada. And then that's when I didn't know that, but I didn't know that the Haftorah portion skipped over this section. That it goes from Isaiah 52:11, hops over to 54:1, and I would have been reading Isaiah 53. And even the first time I read Isaiah 53, I thought to myself, this can't possibly be the Old Testament. This can't possibly be in the Tanakh. Because for me, it spoke so incredibly clearly of exactly the way Yeshua is revealed in the New Testament. So let us read Isaiah 53 this day. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Let Rob lead us through this next three verses.
Umachovenu svalam, vanachnu chashavnu nagua, muke Elohim umune. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. V'hu micholam mipshainu, meduka meyavonoteinu, musar shlomeinu alav, uvachavurato nirpalanu. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Kulanu katzon tahinu, ish ladar kopaninu, v'adonai hivkia bo et avon kulanu. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. The sins of us all to fall on him. Continuing.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he has done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors.
We respond with Etz Chaim. We respond with our love for God's word.
Etz Chaim hi l'machazim la v'tomcheha me'usha derakeha darchei noam v'chol netivoteha shalom. Ashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh, Chadesh Yamenu, Chadesh. amenu keketem.
It is a tree of life to those who grasp it, and its supporters are happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we will repent. Renew our days as of old. So as we talked about last holiday, Rosh Hashanah, and now here, kind of the theme is the mystery of the meaning of these holidays. And as we said, one of the problems when you look into Rosh Hashanah is there's pretty much nothing about it in the scriptures whatsoever. In fact, there's not even the term Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. All it says is a day of blowing. And we discovered, actually, the blowing was an incredibly significant call for the presence of God and realizing he is there at all times. And, you know, and actually, even the other translation is, blessed is the person who, as the English says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim him. But a literal meaning is, blessed are those who know the blowing, who know that sound of the shofar. When we come to Yom Kippur, it's quite the opposite issue. Where Rosh Hashanah has absolutely nothing in the scriptures, Yom Kippur is shocking by how much it has. And we talked about Leviticus 23 running through all these different holidays, and all of them have a little 10 or 15, I mean 5 verses, 7 verses. Not only does Yom Kippur have that, but it's got an entire chapter in Leviticus 16 detailing exactly what's supposed to happen on Yom Kippur. These special 2 sacrifices that are offered, you know, one whose death actually bears the sins for the people, then the high priest comes and lays his hands on the other one and takes the sins of Israel away from them. And you may think in modern-day Yom Kippur service, we don't do this because we don't even have a temple anymore. And so we just kind of have, you know, there's mostly a tradition-led service, which is very different than what was commanded in the Torah. But the question to me is, it's not just in this chapter that so much is talked about atonement. Atonement is everywhere. Atonement. 50 times in Leviticus the word atonement appears, and that's not without all the nouns. You know, there's all these, you know, the mercy seat is actually the atonement seat, the atonement this, atonement that. Everything needs atonement. Why is that? What's atonement about? I mean, we just kind of accept it. It means a covering over for sin, being cleansed from your sin. It's an idea that seems to be everywhere, as if we automatically understand its significance. But do we? We kind of accept the word, but do we understand why is atonement necessary even? Or why about the related idea we kicked all the time? You ever heard of the term forgiveness? It's kind of a common term that gets thrown around all the time. It forgives about 150 times in the scriptures. It's all over the New Testament, 40 times in the Gospels, and it's utterly central to the gospel message, right? What's the big idea? The good news is what? That you could be forgiven from your sins freely. Yeshua made a way for us to be forgiven, right? In fact, what's the whole point of this good news is that essentially this fulfillment of the Yom Kippur sacrifice has happened. That's what we've been talking about all today, that, you know, this, that the whole Israel's offering of a lamb was all symbolic, foreshadowing ultimately what the Messiah would do, that he would be that final lamb. And as all the sins of Israel were wiped away on a daily basis, it was actually Israel was a type of what would happen to the whole world and what God was to do through the whole world through Messiah. He would be that final sacrifice. As it talks about in Isaiah 53, as we read, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. But having said all that, does that really help us? You know, if our question is, why is this atonement thing such a huge deal that the scripture seems utterly obsessed with it? Forgiveness, atonement. Because you might say, you know, well, I get other things about the whole idea about following God. You know, I get that he's big and he's sovereign, and I get that he loves me, and I get that he'll guide me and lead me, and I want him to do that and want him to speak to me. And you might go, well, I understand that forgiveness is something that's talked about all the time, but why is it such a key piece? Why is that one piece actually so much seemingly more than all the rest? You know, why is forgiveness and atonement so important? So that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. Why is that such a huge deal? Why does that seem to be the linchpin of all this stuff? Kind of like if you don't get that, you really don't get the whole rest of it. You know, if you don't get forgiveness and atonement, you're not going to understand at all why it matters that Yeshua is a fulfillment of it. You understand why the gospel is so-called good news. Most of the Torah is going to mystify you, and most of the commands in the New Testament as well. So let's talk about why forgiveness is so important. Well, I think the main reason it's so important is the need to make things right and how difficult it is to make things right. What do I mean? Imagine a company that releases a bunch of chemicals into a river, right? And a bunch of people get ill from that, a bunch of people get cancer. Or think about, you know, the people up in Flint, Michigan, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, was it a company? Was it the government? Was it all these other, you know, corruption? But the question I said is, how do you make it right? You know, well, what do you do? Do you just give them all clean water? Do you try to take all the chemicals out? Have you made it right? What about all the people who are sick? All the people who are scared? I mean, we'll then get lawsuits, right? And pay them a bunch of money, right? Now is it somehow right? Is it repaired? That's like a Band-Aid, isn't it? Because you can't really make it right. You can't undo what was done. You know, you're kind of stuck with it. You know, you think, I was thinking, like, I was talking to Kaylee about getting rear-ended, and I got rear-ended at the time, right? So what happens? So you get rear-ended your car, right? So you have this damage. And I got to somehow make this right, right? So what's someone going to pay a whole bunch of money to get your car kind of fixed or almost totally fixed? And maybe you got some medical issues or not. And all this kind of stuff, they pay all this kind of money stuff, and somehow it's like it never happened, right? No, you do the best you can, but you can't undo it from happening. If there's damage in your body, there's no money which makes it right. There's no way. I mean, you can't undo this stuff. And you think about that's financial stuff. And you can even think that in some ways, and what's a court trying to do? A court's trying to figure out the best way we can make this equal to somehow, like, make this right. And you can't do it. But what about something, what's our normal stuff that happens in our life? What about when a spouse cheats on the other one? How do they make it right? Well, they say, please forgive me. Or what? Are they, I'll stop doing that. But is there a way to undo what happened? Undo the pain, undo the distrust, undo the knife that feels it goes in your heart? You can't undo it. You can't make it right. That's one of the problems, is that we can't make things right. And we kind of just walk around with this sense of, you know, guilt. And it's not these big things, right? Isn't the stuff that needs to be made right happening all the time? I mean, gosh, I don't know, every single day, you know, there's my kids in the front barely listening to me. It's okay. So it's good. I don't want you to hear this. All right. I will say things that I regret to my kids almost every day. I'll regret my tone. I'll regret my impatience. I'll realize that what I said is actually a little bit hurtful and I didn't want it to be. I'm not the parent. I just want to be a good parent. I love them, honestly, and I want to be nothing but a blessing to them, but I don't seem to be. And what can I do? Do I say, I'm sorry, I said that, or to my wife or something like this, but I can't undo it. I can't make it unheard. I don't have the power to do anything to actually make it right. That's pain, isn't it? And you really say, what's the only way by which I could somehow be released of this debt I owe them? Forgiveness. They can only, I essentially owe them something, right? I owe them, you know, I've caused damage. Like the person in a car, you think it's monetary stuff, but we cause like emotional and, you know, hurt damage and all kinds of things to people, and we can't make it right. And you realize the only way that there could be peace between us is if they release the debt. Because nothing I can do to fix it or to make it right. They have to release it. It has to be forgiven. And we might say, well, okay, well, that's the key, right? But you realize it's not so easy just to forgive as if it's like doesn't cost anything, right? Forgiveness is free. To say, I forgive you, and it's all over, right? Don't you see forgiveness has a cost, right? If Kaylee decides to say, I forgive you to the person who hit you, does that mean that there's no cost to be paid? No, it simply means that I'm going to pay for it. There's still this cost. You know, nothing's actually free, right? You download something from the internet and it says, like, ooh, wow, a free app, right? Is it free? It's free to you. Someone else paid a lot of money to develop that thing and to have it. There's nothing free. You go into a store, something's free, nothing's free. Someone's asked to forgive you. Oh, look, it's free. It's not free. It just means they bore it. How does this whole thing get fixed? Because in a fallen world, we're doing stuff every single day, saying things. I mean, we're like people who run through a china shop in life, hurting people around us, saying things we don't want to say, being unloving to the people we love and care for. And there's like little damage. Do you ever have like things like, I find that even myself, there's like things that echo in me from my childhood, or things that have people said, or fears I have, and various things from experience that have happened. And we're like all bruised up on one side from all things that have been done to us. And on the other side, we're filled with kind of guilt, this low-level guilt of all the ways we're not those people and all the way we can't make it right with everybody around us. And that causes our inability to be at peace with one another, and it causes our inability to be at peace with ourselves. So this is why this idea of forgiveness, some real way by which this could be washed, some real way by which this could be restored, some way in which we could be, in a very real way, having this guilt removed from us, and that we can be repaired from all the damage that's done to us. That's what this whole thing's about. In the Yom Kippur, essentially, if our courts can execute a suit in some ways and try to make one little thing we did wrong, right? When you get sued, right, there's one thing you did wrong that they're trying to establish a cost for. Imagine God is the ultimate judge who is doing that for all the stuff you did, right? Every one of those things he's establishing cost for, and it becomes this giant thing. And so he is totally just and going, okay, now it's time to make right. So here is your debt. This is every word, everything done, boom, 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 and it's this monstrous thing, and you darn well, you can't do a darn thing to pay it. So all the, you know, God is totally just in doing it. Or God can find a way in which he says, I see that giant thing right there, and I'm going to find a way by which this could be removed, in which your debt can be paid by another, because that's the only way you can be forgiven, right? You can be forgiven because this thing gets paid by another. And essentially what Yom Kippur is, right, is this picture of what God says, here's how he's going to do it. Once a year, the whole, you know, nation of Israel, all their sins, come and look upon this thing, and they're all going to be in some amazing way the price of it borne upon this animal. How's that possible? He says, and on this day, that's the amazing statement. On this day, atonement will be made for you. Atonement, if covering will be made for you to cleanse you, then before the Lord you will be clean. It's an amazing thought. You will utterly be clean. It will be remade. It will be new. This is just a picture, right? Because this is pointing to ultimately, he says, the only way it could be made right is if the one who's offended actually. Often we think our offense is against one another. Actually, when you, God made us all, and he actually does own us all. He owns the whole darn world by virtue of him making it. And so when I hurt someone else, I actually hurt something that's God's. And so all of our things are ultimately against him. And he is the one to whom we need forgiveness. And he goes, I've made a way by which I can do it. An amazing way, I will come down in the flesh. It's like the judge steps off, you know, takes off his robe, comes down and says, I'm going to die in your place. The very creator to whom it does it will bear the judgment for us. It's an amazing thing. And not only that, he says, through this amazing thing, I'm going to make a new world, a new place. You'll have a new body, and you will be cleansed from all the guilt and all the shame. And not just forgotten, but really paid for by another. Where you're forgiven, you're clean. That's the message that you run around and tell, this has happened, and it's real. Amazing idea. That's how we can become at peace with God. That's how we can be at peace with one another. That's how we can be at peace with ourselves. And ultimately, to a point, until we're in that presence, in those new bodies, we won't feel that complete release. And the call now is, you are released. The guilt's a lie. The shame's a lie. It's an amazing thought. And you may say, well, I don't understand why, you know, why did God allow that to happen? Why did he allow to have broken worlds, you know? A lot of people say that kind of stuff. If God's so mad at sin in control, why allow this whole thing to happen? Why not just stop it from happening? That's a very hard question to answer. Extremely complex. You know, somehow we're these free will beings who can choose to do what we want. But there's a real way in which we're kind of broken. We don't even have a choice. And I actually don't want to answer that question, but I want to pose a different thought. What if God is more glorified in being able to show grace than in our perfection? Meaning, we often think that God just wants us to walk perfectly. But what if God's more glorified in people who show forgiveness to one another? You know, because if God's glory is that God's going to show aspects of himself, could God have ever really shown this nature of his character, the incredible love and willing sacrifice he's going to make for all of us, if we were all perfect and didn't need it? Through our own brokenness, God is actually, his love for us is glorified. His forgiving, loving, grace-filled character was made manifest. And you'd never see it in any other way. And God knows he can redeem all things and create all things. This is his plan. It's an amazing verse in the New Testament. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice." And furthermore, how are we supposed to be then as forgiven people? We've been shown grace. We're ones who are supposed to know that we are loved. So we're supposed to, in turn, then radically love others, radically forgive others. It's almost setting this huge, like, mountain cascading thing going down. How can you possibly not forgive another person? How can you possibly, you know, hold a bitterness, hold a judgment towards another when you have been forgiven so great a task? When you know that you are loved by God, how can you not go out and love others and forgive others? So in the midst of this broken world, you have these people walking around loving other people, caring for other people, forgiving other people because they know the love God has for them. Walking around in radical hope and in radical sacrifice, knowing that he's going to take us to be with him and there's nothing that could ever separate us from him. For so great is his love for us. And then God says, see, that's how you're going to know I'm real. And you're going to show my very characteristic. You're going to see that grace and that love, which is my very nature and character. So when I think about Yom Kippur, when I think about forgiveness, I think about the love of God. I think about love manifested. Not that I love God, but that he loved us and sent a way by which we can be forgiven. Sent his son as atonement for our sins. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. And thank you, Lord, that the mystery of this message somehow was cleared up in my mind and heart when I was 27. Lord, you are graceful, Father. Not only do you cleanse us, but you even lead us to yourself. And help us, Lord, to really know it, to really know your incredible grace in our lives, to receive it, to receive that love, and let it change everything we do, and every person we speak to, every person we care for, that there might be just an abundance of grace, not in us being perfect, but in us being forgiven. Let us show grace to those around us. We praise you, Lord. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
We respond to this great news on page 16 as we recite and sing together. Let us stand and sing together, Ein Keloheinu. There is none like our God. Let's sing together in response to the news that we have heard. Ein Keloheinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kimalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu, Mi Keloheinu, Mi Kadoneinu, Mi Kimalkeinu, Mi Kemoshienu, No del Eloheinu, No del Adoneinu, No del Malkeinu, No del Moshienu, Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adoneinu, Baruch Malkeinu, Baruch Moshienu.
shofar blast.
Tekiah Gedolah.
Together in English. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you peace.
Amen. Go in peace. And please join us on the first Friday of each month at 7:30.